We've got Dylan Todd in. We've had Dylan on before. He was talking about his brother Shane's potential murder. The government of Singapore says it was a suicide, but Dylan just returned from a coroner's inquest in that country, and I thought I would have him on the show to tell us what he saw, what happened over there.
Well, let me tell you, the first time you were on, Dylan, it was one of the most riveting shows we've had in a long, long time. We've had, I think, as many requests for repeats of that show and podcasts of that show than any we've had on for Talkback. So, it's just absolutely amazing, and especially because you told it from such a personal perspective. So now it's time for the rest of the story, if you will, to borrow a line from the late Paul Harvey. So go ahead, John.
Yeah. In short, so you went over to Singapore. This is the big hearing. I mean, I guess even John Kerry was involved, and the State Department was involved in this. So how did it go?
Well, it didn't really go too well. It wasn't how we thought it would be. We were told before it all started that once we got over there for the inquest, it would be an honest and open trial, and it wouldn't be adversarial. And it was just a fact-finding mission when they're trying to find basically the cause of death of my brother. And when we got over there, we pretty quickly found out that it wasn't the case whatsoever. It was extremely adversarial. As far as a fact-finding mission, the only facts that they were willing to look at were ones that supported Shane committing suicide. But when my parents first got over there, they got over there a couple of days before the inquest actually started, so they can kind of get settled, and they got a condo over there. And when they got there, the police or the state had given them a briefcase full, just a huge bin full of all this evidence that they haven't been given ahead of time. And the state had obviously prepared for this trial for months and months and months, and then they just gave all this evidence to my parents right away.
Let me ask you. Let me interrupt. Were you guys represented by counsel at all, or was this just a hearing that they wanted to make facts clear to the family?
Well, we originally were just going to go over there. My parents or my family were just going to go over there, because we have an extraordinary amount of evidence supporting our side of the story. But it became clear, in the months beforehand that we needed to get counsel over there. So we were able to do that.
So they had evidence they withheld from the family that they used for their case?
Yes, basically. But it was evidence that wasn't true evidence. It's crazy. We got there, and this briefcase that they gave my parents was full of pictures of my brother's body after he had been taken down from his hanging position. And that's how he was found. They say he committed suicide by hanging. And these pictures had been photoshopped to take away some of the marks on his neck, to take away different marks for the defensive wounds. Ligature marks, exactly. He had bruises on his hand, on both of his hands, that were from their defensive wounds. He was trying to preserve his life at the end there. And they had given my parents these pictures of his hands that had been photoshopped, and also photoshopped on his neck, these different pictures that we have our own pictures that say the exact opposite. It has all the marks. And
one of the marks that was interesting that you told me about before was that your brother, as a fighter, had a kind of signature move, which was a headbutt to get out of a close confrontation. And he had a big bruise on his head. When you saw the body, when the family saw the body and took pictures, were there bruises on his head in the photos that were in Singapore?
Even the bruises on his forehead were, you could still see a little bit of a mark and a bump on his head, but they had obviously put something on it to make it look a lot less than it actually was. But we, again, have pictures of that as well. And so that was just the first thing that we're like, whoa, this is, we're up against evil here.
So you knew that hard times were coming, right?
Exactly. But I mean, my parents have been preparing for this for months, what could potentially happen. And we had been told through some other people that have gone through the Singaporean court system that said it's you guys better not expect to
Kind of like a kangaroo court type thing?
It's exactly a kangaroo court. The entire thing was a sham. It's just, it was like a setup thing to appease us in a way. But they never looked, anyone on the state side is what they called themselves, never looked at the possibility of murder once. All they wanted to look at was suicide. And the truth there means absolutely nothing. During the court, like, they have no problem lying. They'll lie about anything just to support their side or to save face.
During the... Oh, go ahead, Charlie.
No, I was just going to... Is that because there is no system of checks and balances in Singapore as there might be in, say, in this country?
Right, yeah. There's
or an appeals process, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's set up to where we give a lot of our evidence or reasons why we think Shane was murdered, and we were told that they would work with us. The state side would work with us in trying to find out the what actually happened, but they were extremely adversarial. Never let any of our witnesses go up the first week. They kept postponing all of our witnesses, only let their witnesses go up for basically filibustering for hours. Just let them talk as long as they wanted about... different scenarios.
Now, I think I had a Facebook message with you at least one day, and you had mentioned that Shane's girlfriend testified. Is that right?
Or yeah.
Did she finally get to testify?
Yeah, she was able to testify.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say we got to go to a break, so
no, sorry.
Carry on.
Stay with us. This is fascinating. I know you're sitting on the edge of your seat. I can't wait to hear how this went down, and really can't wait to hear if there is a final, I hate to use an old hackneyed term, if there is a final verdict here as to what actually happened to your brother. I know you know what happened, but did the Singaporeans ever... come around. We'll talk about that when we come back. All three lines are open. If you want to visit with Dylan Todd, his brother Shane is the one that news reports all over the world, really, talking about Shane Todd that allegedly committed suicide. Lots of evidence that that didn't happen that way. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments or questions, 721-1290 is our number. You can comment on our Facebook page. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us here on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. John King, I'm Peter Christian. Dylan Todd continues his story. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of things have changed in the government's case from the time that you left to the time that you returned. Originally, you were told that your brother had committed suicide in a bathroom. The family went to check out the bathroom. He was supposedly... used a pulley system.
Right.
When you went, there were marble walls, no holes drilled into the walls, impossible to make a pulley system. Mm-hmm. There were no pictures of your brother hanging. There was a room that looked like it had been packed and ready to go, and he was apparently killed or committed suicide the day after he quit his job.
Right.
At a questionable company that has ties to the Chinese government.
Chinese government, and also a company called Huawei, which is also owned by the Chinese government.
Right, they do cell phone technology, and your brother, just to catch everybody up, was working on a new type of microprocessor.
Semiconductor,
there we go, that would be faster than what our silicon semiconductors are now, which would drastically increase the technology speed of either a weapon or a cell phone,
right,
depending on what the Chinese government decides to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're back to the story that you came into when you went back for the coroner's inquest. Can you tell us what's changed about those general parameters that we've kind of come to understand about the case? You got new pictures. You said you had a picture of him hanging. I believe that you had no evidence of that before.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, this is where the story just gets crazier. Like I said, there was Photoshop pictures of his neck to take away some of the defensive marks and stuff like that. And then they said, then there was also a picture of my brother hanging from the door. And they apparently never had the picture before. They had told us that we never took a picture of him hanging on the door because when we got in there, we wanted to preserve life and, take him down. So that was their excuse for that. But
What you told us last time, that
right.
We were wanting to see a picture of him where he was hanging.
Right.
But they said that they took him down, tried to perform CPR really quickly, and no one took any pictures.
So did they have to hang him back up again and take the pictures?
No. So this is what happened. We see this picture of him hanging on the door, and we're like, what? Like in this briefcase of evidence.
Right.
And when you look at the picture closely, Shane, my brother, looks just how he looked in a picture where he was lying on the ground. And we had a guy who's really good with Photoshop since look at the picture, and he said, I believe that this thing was Photoshopped 100%. The shadowing on his body on the door doesn't make any sense from where the camera angle was. The whole way his body's standing is not how his girlfriend found him. There's a bunch of inconsistencies with this picture. So they basically Photoshopped a picture of hanging on the door. And the reason that they do that is they had to lie about little tiny things throughout their entire case, basically, to support their case. So there's little things that they had to lie about in order to support their side. And okay. That was just one of the pieces.
Yeah, now I need to jump in here on behalf of folks who didn't hear the first time you were here. Okay. Why would the Singaporean government be so insistent that he had to commit suicide, that it couldn't have been a homicide? Why did it have to be, for their own well-being,
right,
suicide?
So there's two main reasons. The first one would be Singapore is extremely all they want to do is save face and look good to the public and look perfect, basically. That's very, very important to them. They never want to look shamed or anything that way. So the first reason would be that if it does end up being a murder and it's found out that way, it looks really bad on the Singapore police, because not only that they got it wrong on what they initially thought it was, but it would expose that all of their different procedures that they completely messed up on. So they did a horrible forensic job on this case, and if it's deemed a murder, then that'll come to light, and that'll look extremely bad for the Singapore police.
And that's the good option. The bad option is that they're trying to make it
right
look like a suicide.
Yeah,
right?
So that, yeah. And then the second part is, if Shane was murdered in Singapore, then there needs to be questions answered on why he was murdered. What was he doing? What are they covering up? And those are some of the things that we started to uncover during this trial, and then that's when it became very adversarial.
Now, my understanding, last time, the link to the Chinese company Huawei was kind of hidden in mm-hmm. personal files that your brother had
right.
on a device that your mom picked up, a backup hard drive that your mom found in the room just by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Has more come out about Huawei? Do we have more evidence of their involvement in the case?
Yeah, we were given, along with that briefcase of evidence, CDs that were taken off of Shane's computer, like off his hard drive, and all of these new files. I think they were on the hard drive as well, but there were just thousands and thousands, so it's hard to look over them when we have, you know, such limited resources. But these files started coming up. We just did a search for Huawei, started popping up Huawei, and it's just all of these different, like, really detailed plans on what they're going to do, what Huawei's trying to get him to do, and what his plan is on action. And then as you get deeper into the files, we found one that was a pros and cons list, which my brother made himself, Shane made, and put on his computer, saved on his computer. And the pros, it was a pros and cons to leaving his company, IME. Hmm. And there was like three pros, and one of they were, you know, access to really good technology, things like that. And then on the cons list, one of the cons was possible violation of U.S. national security.
Wow.
This is written out before you had assumed you had like a word from an uncle or something like
right.
that. Right.
So before we got this document, the only evidence we had to support the fact that Shane was worried about hurting U.S. national security was him telling that to my parents. He said, "Mom, they're trying to get me to do something that I will not be proud of. They're asking me questions I'm really uncomfortable with," things like that. So we were telling people from the beginning, Shane was worried about his life. They were trying to get him to do really bad things. And then we found it in his own writing. And then that's when the court or the judge started to get really upset.
Okay, we're up against a break here. What I want to know when we come back is, first of all, what is Huawei?
Right.
And who is it, a Chinese company? And thirdly, why was he working for this company in the first place? Okay.
Okay.
So we'll talk about all that. And you're going to be with us till 9:30. Is that right?
Right.
So if you have any questions or comments, I know you're sitting on the edge of your seat. This is, you know, behind the scenes stuff that you never hear in the mainstream media, because they just don't have time to devote to, you know, all these in-depth things that, Dylan are sharing with us. So we appreciate that. We'll come right back with more in just a minute. All right, we're back on TalkBack, 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. We've got Dylan Todd here in studio, his brother Shane. The Singaporean authorities claim he committed suicide. You have lots of proof that it was homicide. Now, the questions I wanted to ask you, first of all, what is Huawei? What is this company? Who owns it? And why was he working for them in the first place?
So Huawei is a company, a telecommunications company in China.
Okay.
And
this is China, right?
Yeah, Chinese telecommunications company.
This is not a Singaporean company. This is a Chinese company.
Right. Yes, okay. Chinese. Right. And it's tied directly to the Chinese government. They own Huawei, basically.
It's state-owned.
They are a telecommunications company which sells cell phone products and cell phones all around the world. But the problem is that they've been under congressional investigation for spying and cyber espionage.
Yeah, it's tapping phones.
Right.
Yeah, et cetera. It's basically like the Department of Justice. Typical sort of stuff.
So it's kind of a way for the Chinese people to spy on other, or the Chinese government to spy on people around the world. And there's been a congressional investigation on it, on Huawei. And also, Australia has completely banned any products made by Huawei in their entire country because of how bad Huawei has been and how much they basically spy on people.
Now, your brother was working for a firm that was not Huawei. It's a different firm, right? Mm-hmm. So what was the name of the firm?
Institute of Microelectronics, which I just refer to as IME normally.
IME, right. Okay, so IME was not Huawei, and they said that they didn't have any contracts or agreements with Huawei, right?
Right.
But it turns out from things on your brother's computer that they actually did. And that's where Huawei comes into the picture.
Right.
He was working on something really secretive. I know we got to go to a break here.
Two minutes.
Yeah. Maybe you should tell us a little bit about that story, about when your brother comes over to the United States to a U.S. Firm and has to write down material and memorize it.
Uh-huh.
They won't hand him a recipe.
Yeah, so when my brother came to America, until he went to New Jersey to get trained on this MOCVD tool, and this is the tool that is the whole entire. This is the core of the whole entire story. And he told me, I'm going to get trained on this MOCVD tool, and it's really important that I get these recipes for it. And these recipes are they're the key to unlocking the door, which is this MOCVD tool.
The new semiconductor technology.
Right. Yeah. This is how you make the gallium nitride using this tool. And he said, I have to, they won't give me these recipes, right? They won't just give them to me, but they'll allow me to look or go into the room while the machine's in its process, and I can write down these recipes by hand. And I said, man, that sounds kind of shady. And he said, yeah, it does seem a little shady to me too, but I guess that's kind of how they do it. And at that point, Shane was just sort of naive to what was actually going on. He didn't really find out what they were trying to get him to do until a little bit after that.
Yeah, hold that thought. We have to take our top of the hour break here. This is fascinating and so tragic, especially for the entire Todd family, who spent a lot of time going over to Singapore and fighting this. We'll continue right after the top of the hour break. You have any questions or comments? Feel free to give us a call if you want to encourage Dylan and his family. That'd be great, too. 721-1290 is our number. We're going to come right back with more of TalkBack right after this. Welcome back. Hour number two of TalkBack for Wednesday. Our guest in studio, Dylan Todd. We're continuing with the story of his brother Shane and his tragic death over in Singapore. Now, you've got a Facebook comment,
we
John.
We do. Patrick says, hey, I missed a lot of this story. My question is, our government doing anything to help? Tester, Baucus, Danes, etc.? Or are they just ignoring the story?
Well, actually, Baucus and Tester and Congressman Wolf have done a lot to help us.
Congressman Wolf?
Yeah.
Who's
He's a congressman for Virginia.
Okay.
They've done a lot, but, I mean, it's such a...
Well, it's a sovereign country. There's only so much you can do.
Exactly. So, and it's such like a huge deal. If Shane, you know, if it was deemed that he was murdered, there'd be so many questions to answer that, I mean, it's like our country doesn't really seem to be putting nearly as much effort as we think they should be.
This sounds like one of those John le Carré you know, spy novel type things,
right.
You know, and it just, because there's so, it goes so deep and it goes so many different directions that you're expecting Matt Damon to pop up here any minute, you know, to come in and save the day or do whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I
yeah,
don't mean to make light of it, but it just sounds like it's so, in, you know, like all this intrigue.
Well, you have had producers ask for the movie rights, right?
Yeah, a bunch of them have contacted my parents, but...
Wow.
But what about the State Department? Okay, the State Department would be the ambassador, basically, or the point of contact for you for your brother's death. Have they been involved?
Basically, the people who have been involved the most is the FBI. We've given them a lot of information, and at one point, they asked us for a copy of the hard drive that we had given, or that we had gotten all this information off of my brother's hard drive. And the FBI asked for that, and we gave them a perfect copy of it, and then. After that, they said, this won't ever hold up in court. We need the original, which was kind of a mistake getting them that. But because before this, it's a really big deal. It's a really big part of Singapore's case that Shane committed suicide, that they gave us this hard drive. They said that they literally handed it over to my parents, the police did, which I know personally to be untrue because I saw it in my brother's apartment. I wasn't the one that picked it up. My mom was, but I did see it. So... my parents asked them at one point after they said, oh, well, we gave it to you. My dad said, well, what's the serial number then? They weren't able to give it to us. What does it look like? They weren't able to tell us. They couldn't tell us anything about it because they didn't give it to us. But the thing that kind of frustrates us is after we gave the FBI the original hard drive, they haven't given us any information about what they found on it or anything. Once they got that, they completely stopped talking to us. And then when we got to Singapore to do the trial, they all of a sudden had his serial number to his hard drive and you know, the specs of it and how it looked, which they didn't have before.
Which so you did not give to them.
We did not give to them, no.
So they had to get it from somewhere.
Right. So we're a little bit upset.
Wow.
Because it seems
isn't
like,
it possible that they did get the hard drive, had the serial number, maybe didn't have it when your dad asked, but maybe had it in their catalog, and they're the ones that left it on the bed where your mom found it?
That could be possible. I have no proof to say that they didn't do
but
that.
They wouldn't have, they wouldn't have left it there.
Yeah, why would they leave it there?
Well, we're assuming guilt on their part, right?
Exactly.
If they're innocent, then there would be no hesitation in leaving it there.
All right, go ahead.
Well, the thing is with that hard drive is there was – if they did do that, because Call, which is the detective, this really young detective that they put on this case, and he said, well, I had plugged my computer into it before we took it and then gave it to the Todds. And if that is true, the last computer that was plugged into it was looking at very specific files of what Shane was doing related to this GAN project with Huawei. So if it was him, he went into Shane's computer and knew exactly what files to look for and figure out what Shane was doing, and then all of a sudden decided, this isn't worth anything, and then left it. Like,
wow.
There's so many holes in their story. It's insane.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We have evidence that your brother questioned their misdeeds when it comes to national security.
Let's get callers on now. Dave, thanks for holding. You're on Talk Back with Dylan Todd. Go ahead.
Yeah, my guess is that Singapore is primarily Chinese, or at least the Chinese dominate the government there. And so there's this ethnic attachment, you might say, to mainland China. And I think that they're running interference with the Chinese Communist government. I mean the government of Singapore is.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably why you're having the kind of difficulties you're having. And Americans should be forewarned about going abroad to spread their technical expertise, because the Chinese are in a lot of places, well, especially Asia, as you would expect.
There's already been hacking attacks from communist China against our companies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Taking people or killing people in order for them to not, if they have information that the Chinese don't want to get out, killing them is an absolutely viable option for the Chinese government.
Yeah, sure. They've got no scruples. They're communists.
All right. Dave, anything else?
That's it.
Thanks for the call.
I think the last time you were talking, you said that there were others that might have been murdered as well in Singapore?
We've gotten people that have contacted my parents. One of them was in China. He was a teacher doing, I guess, starting to teach things that the government didn't want him to. And he called his mom and said, oh, you know, they've taken my passport. They've taken everything from me. Can you please send me money? And that was the last time they heard of him. And then they got a call saying, your son got hit by a car. And then when they got his body back, it was the same thing that happened to us. All of this evidence to say he was actually beat to death, and then they hit him with a car. So, I mean, the Chinese are doing this to people quite often. And, well, I don't know how often, but it seems to me like it's happening more often than not.
Well, we need to take a break. 721-1290 is our number. Susan is waiting very patiently. We'll get to you right after we get off the break here. We have two lines open, 721-1290. We're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309, Facebook/KGVO. Our guest in studio, Dylan Todd, and, of course, John King, Peter Christian. And let's get Susan on the line with your question. Good morning, Susan.
Well, my dogs are going to go bananas. I'm sorry. I wanted to just say that I think your guest is so well-spoken and presents the story so beautifully. And I haven't heard him say if he has talked to Sean Hannity or O'Reilly Factor. I know when I was producer of KGVO Radio, we had access to the inside phone numbers of the people whose shows ran on KGVO, as well as partners, you know, other radio stations owned by the same company.
Right.
And I guess the question is, have you approached Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly?
I think that's a good idea. We should do that.
I haven't personally. There's been a lot of people that I've tried to contact, but that's more of my parents' alley. They've been all over Fox News and CNN. Yeah, talking about this.
Well, are they as well spoken as you, though? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean to be rude, but.
They do
you
a
have a
good
young voice. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they're okay. Pretty well spoken. My mom's a public speaker, so that's her profession, basically.
Well, and I guess all I can say is from the standpoint of somebody that's been an activist for many, many years on many different controversial subjects, as Peter knows, I can tell you what you are doing is the absolute most important and this show is probably your most important show to be on, because the people who are the most sympathetic are probably listening to this show.
Right.
Well, thanks, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay.
Thank you for everything you said. That was so nice.
Now, let's get to some very important, pertinent facts that you really wanted to get out. We only have another 15, 20 minutes. So there are some things that you want folks to know about this investigation that you brought with you.
Yeah, there's just some things I don't want to leave without saying. When we were during the trial, my brother's boss, he was just my brother's boss at IME, was on the stand, and he had said a bunch of things that were absolute completely false. He first of all said that the machine that they were buying from Vico was bought all over China. There's hundreds of them in China and around the world.
So it's no big deal.
No big deal. That's the point he was trying to make, which at that point we didn't know if that was true or not. And it's true. Vico does make machines that are sold all around the world. So at that point we're like, huh, why would they have such specific interest in chains then? And he first said that on the stand, and then he also said there's absolutely no way that anyone could ever copy down these recipes by hand, because for a number of different reasons he gave, that they're really long, they have all these different parameters. He made it sound impossible. So we're like, well, then I was just thinking, well, then why would Shane tell me that? Or am I crazy? Am I believing this? Or am I remembering it wrong? So those were just two things that that I want to point out. He lied about tons of things. And then when a representative from Vico got on the stand, and he was a representative from Vico, which is the company they bought this MOCVD tool from, was asked, are your machines sold around the world? He said yes. And then he was asked the question, was there anything different about the machine that Shane was buying? And he said, well, yeah, it's the only one of its kind. It's completely it was completely unique for what they were trying to do, which right there
it blew them out of the water. Didn't they? Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So that was the first time that Shane's boss was caught on a complete lie.
How about the recipes by hand?
Yeah. So and then the recipes by hand, he we had been going through all this information or stuff that we had gotten from my brother's hard drive, evidence that had been submitted to court already by the police through these DVDs that just were a picture of his hard drive. And on these DVDs, we found an email from Shane, email correspondence from his boss, Patrick Lowe, to my brother Shane. And it had said, "Shane, were you able to obtain the Vico recipes for the MOCVD tool?" And then Shane replied back to him and said, "Yes, Patrick, I was able to copy them down by hand while the machine was in its process." And this was an email from Patrick, who had just said, "You can't copy them by hand," and from my brother. And then when we submitted this evidence into court, or at least tried, by the way, the prosecution is, which is crazy they call them the prosecution. It's supposed to be, we're supposed to be on the same side in a way. So, but the prosecution was able to just submit evidence all throughout the trial. Boom, boom. Anything that they wanted, the judge just accepted. Mm. When we submitted this very vital evidence, because it proved that Patrick Lowe was lying, the judge freaked out and said, I'm not going to have this. Don't let this happen again. Yelling at our lawyers. Our own lawyers were scared of this government. And yelling at our lawyers, this isn't going to happen again, and I'm not submitting this into evidence. Even though it had already been submitted through these DVDs. So that was just one of the reasons we thought, wow, this trial is insane. This is complete setup, kangaroo court, like you said.
So what do you do now? I mean,
you
the
just
coroner's
packed up
inquest
and, you just packed up and went home, right?
So So the last day we were in the inquest, that happened. And that, you know, along with a ton of other things that led up to this, we just thought, why are we even here? This is ridiculous. They're wasting our time and they're literally torturing us. Like the things that they were saying during the court and lying about, it was like they were torturing us and they were getting enjoyment out of it almost. So we were like, what are we wasting our time here
for?
Yeah,
because surrounding all this is the fact that you lost your brother.
Right. I mean, and they didn't even give that a worry in the world. That wasn't
because that wasn't their number one priority. Obviously.
Yeah, the only thing they cared about was trying to say that Shane committed suicide.
Wow.
So you ended up doing what after you reached this point of emotional stress?
So that happened, and then it's really important that Shane died on Friday, but the police say that he died on Saturday. The coroner himself there said that he had died on late Friday night or early Saturday morning, which I mean, their own coroner said that. And the police said that he died on Saturday because they had gotten his computers. They had his computers, and before they turned it over to their forensic team to look over it, you have to do something what's called encasing it, and that's taking a picture basically of the hard drive and doing all your forensic work based on that picture.
That way you don't destroy evidence, right?
That way you don't mess any of the data up on the computer.
Right.
But the police never gave the computer to their forensic people for an entire month. So they were able to change anything that they wanted on his computer history to say basically anything. And what they had done is said, Shane researched suicide websites all night Saturday night.
Wow.
Before he hung himself.
Wow.
So they're saying that he died on Saturday night when we already know he was dead on Friday. So they had added all of these suicide websites that Shane supposedly was researching on Saturday night. And then this is when the reason I had to give that little back information for what actually happened. So then the next day, or the same day that the judge got mad and threw out our evidence, the email evidence, the head of state, right before we went on a lunch break, which is you take a little lunch break and then come back, right before we went on a lunch break, it was during our own forensic computer analyst was on the witness stand talking about how shoddy the police work was and how if it was in America, everything they did would completely thrown out.
Right.
Based on their horrendous police work. So when our witness was on the stand saying these things, the head of the state, our head of the guy that was leading the state side said, "Your Honor, we have a witness that we want to be on the stand right after lunch. He's flying out tonight, so it's his only opportunity to go on the stand right now." And this guy was supposed to be the last guy to see my brother alive. He was we went to dinner with him after my brother was selling all of his stuff. He had
Bicycles, you said.
Yeah, so this guy apparently came over to maybe potentially buy Shane's TV, and then they decided he wouldn't buy it. And then they went out and had a dinner afterwards. And this guy had on his conditional statement before, right when we went for break, that said, I had dinner with Shane Todd on Saturday night, which we knew Shane was dead on Friday.
Wow.
Friday night. So we're like, what? And then apparently, so the judge goes, oh, yeah, this witness can go up on stand right after break, which is crazy. They never let us do that whatsoever.
Right. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
And then so when we basically said to the judge, Judge, can you let this guy testify tomorrow? We need a little time to figure out who he is. We've never even heard of him before. And then after the break, after we got back from lunch, our lawyers asked that, can we have a day to at least look us over? And the judge said, nope, your witness is going off the stand. Our witness is going on the stand. And then that's when my entire family stood up, and you're supposed to bow to the judge when you leave. We stood up and bowed to the judge and walked out and didn't go back.
Now, was that, when you said the head of state, was that the president? Was that the...
No, I'm sorry. The head of the people who were representing the state during the court.
Hey, we're way overdue for a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Gloria, we'll get your question on here in just a moment. And we're back on TalkBack, 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. All right, I know you've got to get going here pretty quick, but I want to get Gloria on quickly. Good morning, Gloria. What's your question?
Well, first of all, I want to express my deepest sympathy to this young man and his mother and father, because I don't know
and
how
brothers.
You can have closure with something like this. And it looks like an uphill battle. I believe in boycotting. And I think people that are listeners that may travel there should spread the word and not visit that country. But I'm wondering, is there a possibility that you could write a book? You know, that's another good way to get the word out. It's based on a true story, and that would send a big message about why we should stay away from that country. And that's all I have to say. But, again, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I think we
Thank you, Gloria.
We can definitely count on a book coming out, and it's probably most likely it can be written by my mom, not me. She's a great writer, and she really expresses herself well. So I think we've got that to look forward to at some point.
We have about a minute left. Where does your family go from here?
Basically, we put together with my aunt and uncle and a bunch of different people who have really helped us put together an entire.
A timeline looks like.
Timeline, and also a section saying who's telling the truth, and it gives what we think happened to Shane on a bunch of different aspects, and then what the state says, or when I say state, I'm talking about the Singapore state, says happened to Shane, and then all the supporting evidence on who's actually correct. I think we're going to be able to.
I've loaded it up on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. Now, what is your family doing personally? Are they going to keep trying to compile evidence? Are they going to keep trying to attack the Singaporean government?
Well, this packet that I'm talking about that you said you posted on Facebook goes through everything. It's the whole entire story and all the evidence surrounding it. And I mean, this is real. My parents are people kind of look at them like they're invincible, but this is really killing them. And I mean, they have to get back to their real life. My dad hasn't been able to go to work for the past year because all he's doing is researching his own.
Researching Shane's death.
Yeah, like looking into his own son's death and compiling all
nobody,
the evidence.
Nobody should have to do that.
Yeah, no one should have to do that. And I mean, it's been a year, and they have gotten everything. Someone else needs to take over, and I want it to be our government, but they're really, at this point, not impressing me.
Well, real quick, final question. Before, you told us that John Kerry was getting involved, that the State Department was involved. Where has that gone? Has it gone any further?
They were getting involved so the Singapore police would give over my brother's computers so they could look at it, but I haven't heard anything about that. They're doing their best to help us out, but it's like other people aren't helping them out. So, I mean, so many people and so many governments are trying to cover this up that it's like, I don't even know where to go. I mean, this is one family with very limited resources going up against an entire country or maybe more and who has unlimited resources. So the fact that we've gotten this far is insane, but we need someone else to take it over.
Well, without sounding too terribly sinister, would you guys please watch out for yourselves?
Yeah. No, yeah, we had to leave Singapore a little bit early because of that. We thought something might have happened to us. There was, when we were walking around the Singapore streets, everyone recognized our family. Everyone was looking at us. And we asked this one guy to take a picture of us, just like, so we'd have a picture of our family and Singapore. And then after he took the picture, he whispered to us, "Everyone believes you." And then walked away. Like, he completely knew who we were, and he was just a complete stranger and said that to me. But he was too scared to say it out loud because of worried someone would tell him or something. So this entire country is very scared of their government. And, you know, when the people are scared of the government, you have tyranny. And when the government's scared of the people, you have liberty. So it's kind of one of those situations.
So as critical as we are about our own country, thank heavens it's not Singapore.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Freedom is a real thing.
You got it. Hey, God bless you, man. Thanks, Dylan.
Yeah, thank you guys for so much for having me on.